the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Our guest today is Mel Goddard, a writer for LICC, who is going to tell us a ton of helpful information about educating students, workers, and local churches concerning the integration of faith and work. This is a podcast dedicated to analyzing yesterday, asking today, and anticipating tomorrow, so that the local and global church may be prepared for the changing economy. I'm Will Sorrell. Welcome to the future of faith and work. Welcome to Ergonomy.
All right, welcome to another episode of Ergonomy. Today we are joined by someone across the pond. This will be our second episode this season that has gone international. We're very excited. We're joined by Nell Goddard from LICC in London, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. So Nell, I'll go ahead and let you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Nell. As Will said, I work at the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, where I am part-time writer and part-time Emerging Generations project lead. So I do a bunch of work with students and young professionals. So what LICC does is we help Christians think through what it looks like to be a Christian, whatever they are. What does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus in your workplace, at home, down the gym, down the shops, interacting with people that you meet every day, wherever you go, and what does it look like to be a whole life disciple of Christ?
Fantastic. So are you all sort of a parachurch ministry, or do you work out of a local church? Do you partner with local churches? How does that work?
We're a parachurch ministry, but we do a lot of kind of consultancy work with churches. So we run like learning hubs, and we'll go and do like preaching and consultancy with various churches, as well as working with people in the workplace and doing more broader things around cultural engagement and what does the Bible have to say about whole life discipleship.
How did you get on with LICC? That sounds like a very unique role, especially working with students.
Yeah, so I graduated. I did a theology degree at Durham University, and I graduated about 2.5 years ago. Started my role here as culture projects lead, which was kind of speaking, writing, and research about the intersection of theology and culture. So that involved doing the weekly emails that we run. So we have two different weekly emails. One is a 400-word reflection on a Bible passage, and one is a 400-word reflection on something in culture. So how do we engage with that from a Christian perspective? So those go out every week, and I write or commission and edit those. So kind of did that, and then it kind of morphed a little bit and ended up getting more into kind of young professional student stuff as I kind of saw my friends come out of university and move into work and just be like, where does God fit in here? How do we do this? And we really wanted to engage with a younger generation who are entering the workplace. The millennials, if you will, kind of thinking about their faith and their work and how they intersect. So now I kind of do part-time with the emails and cultural stuff, and part-time with students and young professionals.
You wear a lot of different hats. That's very interesting.
Many hats.
So working with young professionals, I'm a millennial. I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast are millennials. What are some of the main concerns or questions or hopes that you see with millennials as it relates to the integration of faith and work?
Yeah, I think it's kind of often it's the same issues just like rehashed for a new generation, so they just look a little bit differently. But I think one of the main things that we see is, as with any big kind of life transitions, so even going from school into uni and then from uni into work, people will drop off from their faith because there's so much change going on that it can often kind of fall off the fall off the conveyor belt, if you will, and just like, what am I doing? Who am I? Which way is up? That kind of thing. And also a kind of an understanding of God caring about the whole of your life, and actually how all of it matters to him. There are not some things which matter more and some things which matter less. So it's not like, going to church matters and going to prayer meetings matters. And, you know, I only go to work so I can earn loads of money to give it away. Actually, what if we started thinking and realizing that everything that we do matters to God, because it's that where we are right now is where he works in and through us to his kingdom and for his glory. And so getting people to kind of think through that as they move from university, where they in the UK, like particularly if you do an arts degree, like you have so much free time, in my final year in uni, I had like 4 contact hours a week. So apart from that, I was kind of free to do what I wanted, when I wanted, apart from like essays and stuff. And trying to get people to think through, like, now that your job is taking up so much of your time, because, you know, I did a brief survey of some recent graduates a couple of weeks ago, and people would spend like upwards of 40% of their waking hours in the workplace, either in the workplace or commuting to and from the workplace. And so actually, like, that place really matters. If we don't think that God cares about that, then why would we stay in contact with a God who we thought didn't care about what we spend nearly half our time doing?
Right.
And so trying to help millennials, help any generation, particularly this generation, think through, like, okay, so you're going to go into a workplace where you probably won't have that much influence. You won't end up in your dream job straight away. That's not how it works. You're going to be doing menial tasks. You're going to be, it might be difficult and it might be a big adjustment. Actually, let's start thinking about how God can work in and through you wherever you are, not just when you're a high-flying person with lots of money and lots of influence. So kind of that would be one of the things that we work with.
You mentioned money and influence. There's I'm not sure how it is in London, but there's a lot of assertions by some skeptics and critics in the States that faith and work theology really only works for people in high-powered jobs. The underlying assumption is that faith and work theology works a lot better for an executive who has a lot of control and a lot of power than it does for someone who is doing something very, very menial, right? The classic example being like a janitor. Now, scripturally, I think that we would refute this, right? Certainly the reformers would refute that. But I think in practice, how do you, as someone working in a parachurch ministry to equip people, how do you make faith and work theology work for all people?
Because it's not just about, it's not just about kind of how much difference you can make to like on a big scale. Actually, maybe it's about the small interactions and the small things you do, the people that you meet. So it's sometimes it is, and we run a thing called Executive Toolbox, which is for executives. So we think about culture change from a Christian perspective and leadership. But actually, it's never just about how much change you can enact like on a large scale. Maybe it's about how much change you can make on the in the little patch of earth that God has given you to cultivate and to look after. And maybe that's, you know, I had a job logging parking fines for one organization where I just rang people up and paid their parking fines. It was terribly dull. What did God teach me through that? He taught me patience. He taught me things about interacting with my colleagues. What does it mean to speak up for truth and justice, or to like mold a culture where you are in your workplace? And so what we don't just talk about like big impacts, but we have a framework called the 6 M's. We call it a framework for fruitfulness. So this is a kind of way of seeing how God is already and will in the future work in and through you wherever you find yourself, whether that's CEO or janitor. So just to kind of go through them quickly, modeling godly character. So that's like, think the fruit of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How are you modeling godly character, whether you're cleaning a toilet or running a business or somewhere in between? Modeling godly character, making good work. So like literally whatever you do to and for the glory of God, because God is a worker and he delegates to us his work. And he teaches us how to work and he shows us how to work because he himself is a worker. And so to make good work is to do everything to and for the glory of God. And then it's being a mouthpiece for truth and justice. What does it mean to speak up against unfair practices, or to speak the truth, or to speak out against gossip, or whatever that is? Molding culture. So how do you like change one little thing to change like a 1 degree shift, which will change the kind of direction of a lifetime, is kind of how we think about it. So say, for example, you have a bit of a blame culture in your office. So people are always like, oh, well, it wasn't me, it was them. What would it mean as a Christian to say, actually, I messed up and I'm going to apologize for that? Or you, colleague, messed up and actually made my life really difficult for a week, a month, a year, but I'm going to choose to forgive you. And that is molding a culture, and that is changing something that is actually making quite a significant impact on people, whether you see it straight away or not. And then the fifth one is ministering grace and love. And that kind of does what it says on the tin. It's about what does it look like to be kind in what you're doing to minister love to people who actually sometimes it's really hard to love. Everyone has difficult colleagues, right? Or everyone has difficult people that they interact with. And so what does it look like to minister grace and love to them, whether that's like just taking some time out to help them with something, even when you might not necessarily have that time to give. What does it mean to like stop and make someone a cup of tea? Or like this morning my office mate left me a chocolate bar on my desk. She was like, I just saw this and thought you might like to try it. Like that's ministering grace. And then the final one is being a messenger of the gospel. And that means basically it builds on the other five. And it's like actually when someone says to you like, hey, why do you always offer to make me a cup of tea? Or why did you apologize for something? Or why did you, when you got the credit for something which you did in a team, why didn't you just take all that credit for yourself? Or why did you spread out and say, actually, this person did this and that person did that? And then you can say, actually, because, and you give the message of the gospel, you give a reason for the hope that you have, you give a reason as to why you're doing things differently. And so actually that, I find that a really helpful framework because it doesn't actually just work in an office setting, but it works across the board. wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, you can model godly character, you can minister grace and love, you can be a messenger of the gospel. And you don't have to have a massive paycheck and a big corner office and all of these things in order to do that. So that would be my very long answer to a very short question.
That's great. I really appreciate the insight into the six M's, how you guys actually work this out in practice. And I think what you're saying is so very in line with the scriptures that whatever we do for the least of these, right, we're doing unto Christ. Mm. Could you talk a little bit about the role of the scriptures in your curriculum? I think a lot of people in faith and work theology in the States, at minimum, are very guilty sort of either proof texting, so sort of just coming up with an idea and finding the scriptures that kind of match what they want to say, or perhaps not having a completely like fleshed out idea of the scriptures when it comes to faith and work theology. So I think a lot of things that are good and biblical, but maybe not as rich as they could be because they're not always supplemented by the Bible. So I guess I'm on a quest to sort of help people read, if the entire Bible really tries to speak to the entire man or woman, right, to the entire person, then does it not also speak into our work? And I guess, how do you all handle that when it comes to the scriptures?
I mean, we talk a lot about actually throughout the Bible, we have a resource called Whole Life, Whole Bible, which is journeying through the whole of scripture, telling the whole story of scripture in 50 Bible passages and thinking about how it affects your the whole of your life. And so think about, we do it in the context of six C's. So you have creation, corruption, covenant, Christ, church, and consummation. And actually throughout those, you can see that throughout scripture, God cares about every part of what we do because he made every part of what we do. And so you see it in creation, how you have the creation mandate to cultivate the earth, which means to take things and make more things out of it, to look after it. And so whatever we're doing is cultivation. So you see that, you see how one of my favorite bits in Genesis is where God's like, I've made all these animals, Adam, why didn't you name them? And you're like, come on, like that's ridiculous. Like this is God delegating to a human the naming of all the creatures. And that kind of shows that God cares about what we have to say, what we have to do. Like he made us in his image. And he takes an intense interest in what we come up with because he takes an intense interest in us.
Absolutely.
And so we see in creation, and then obviously throughout, and then kind of the fall happens and work is twisted and corrupted and broken, and actually toil becomes painful and difficult, and we see that kind of the outworking of that in our everyday life. Sometimes things are really boring, and sometimes people are really difficult, and actually sometimes what we do can contribute to the brokenness of the world. So although things are in themselves inherently good because they were created good, and actually we have a remarkable capacity as fallen human beings to take something good and twist it and make it broken and create broken outcomes. So you would have something like architecture would be one example. So architecture creates spaces for living, and it's really good, and you create beautiful buildings and things that are really delightful to look at, and they bring joy to people, and they create beauty, and they give order because you have places to live, and they create provision and all of these good things. But also, like, architecture can be used in a very negative way. It can be used to create places that have no space for community, that are really badly managed, or that are inefficient in, with regards to the environment and all of this kind of stuff. And so you see how things are both fundamentally good and have a remarkable capacity to be broken by humans. So you have kind of creation, you have the fall, and then you have redemption, and you see God at work in broken situations to make the new. It's the recreation, and we're kind of in that kind of now and not yet middle point of actually some things are still really broken and some things are on their way to being fixed, but nothing's really quite perfect yet. And we can see that in a whole variety of different subjects. And so I think I've kind of mixed like three different answers there. I realized to kind of think about the story of the Bible and the story of work. But I think basically my answer would be that scripture cares about work because it cares about the whole person. It cares about the world. Our creation mandate is to cultivate and to build. And we are shown how to be a good worker by God, who is a worker.
Right.
That would be, I think, my answer.
No, that's great. And that's so encouraging. I love the whole person, whole Bible approach. That's very, very refreshing. And it seems like you guys really are doing incredible work there. I've seen and read a little bit about some of your different programs within Faith and Work. And I've seen that you have resources for churches.
Yes.
All group level, but also workplace studies. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have a couple of workplace studies as well. Yeah.
Can you talk about kind of the differences in approach there? What the programs might look like, and different, I guess, struggles or successes you've seen with those two?
Yeah, great. So the church group, we have a church team who are all part-time church leaders and part-time work with LICC. And basically what they do is they work with churches to help them create a whole life disciple-making church. So what does it look like for your church not just to be talking about like churchy things and what you do on a Sunday and how you can get involved with like outreach products from the church, but actually to equip the church for when they're scattered. So we think about gathered and scattered, and you're gathered together on a church on a Sunday, and you are encouraged and equipped for when you go back to the places that you normally go and the people that you normally meet. And that's what we call front lines at LICC. There's your front line is where you would spend your time. So every week I go and do some babysitting for some kids down the road, and that's one of my front lines. And I also am in my work, and so that's a front line. And then I'm down the gym, and that's a front line. And then I'm with my housemates, and that's a front line. So like you have multiple front lines. It's basically the people that you would normally see wouldn't necessarily come into contact with a Christian otherwise. And so the church works to help the church team works to help churches become communities and where you are equipped by God for your front line. Everyone's a missionary is kind of the idea that we go for. And wherever you are, you can make a difference. And so we have a number of resources for that. We have small group resources, so Bible studies and video kind of series that you're doing kind of throughout the like I said, whole Bible. We have fruitfulness on the front line, which goes through the six M's, which I explained a couple of minutes ago, one by one. And we have life on the front line, which kind of introduces the concept of front lines, which is I think that's a really exciting way of thinking about it, and I found that quite a releasing thing. So that's kind of the church team. We do learning hubs with vicars and church leaders. We do stuff with worship leaders around whole life worship and what kind of songs are we singing that don't just talk about how we feel, but where we are. And like actually, if God cares about all of our lives, we should be singing about how God cares about all of our life, as well as kind of reading the Bible about it and that kind of thing. So we have service outlines and sermon suggestions and all of this kind of stuff with our resource Whole Life Worship. So yeah, we do a lot of work with kind of small groups and then with church leaders and kind of encourage people to make a difference wherever they are, and encourage church leaders to equip their congregation to do that. And then in the workplace, it's a kind of we have a variety of different things. We have, as I mentioned earlier, the Executive Toolbox course, which is very top level executives, Christians, executives. So how, what does it look like to be a Christian leader in your sector? So there's that, and then there's a transforming work resource, which is, we have it in two formats now. The first format is a kind of, you would do it over, you'd meet every 6 weeks with a group of like 6 to 12 people, and every over kind of the course of 18 months, you would go through God's vision for work and think a little bit about the six M's and think about your workplace and what you can do to make a difference where you find yourself. And now we also have it in lunchtime group kind of size packages. So you can do it in like a half hour lunch break with your Christian group in the workplace. Something if you had like a prayer group or a Christian workplace group. So we do those, and then we also have what I work on, which is resources for students and young professionals. So we're currently in the process of releasing two resources for students. One to help undergraduates, kind of first and second year university students, see their whole university life from a Christian perspective. So what does God have to say about their subject? How could they worship God through the way they interact with their housemates, or the way they kind of are on their sports team, or down the gym, or wherever they down the bar, or out clubbing with their friends, and that kind of thing. And then the other one is to help students think through that transition out of university into work. What does the theology of work look like? How do we deal well with change? What does calling mean as a Christian? And that kind of thing. And then we also have a day conference for young professionals. So thinking through, okay, you're in the first kind of 5 years of your working life. You've got through the kind of information overload of the first year of being in work. You kind of know what you're doing, sort of. You've settled in, you have like a bit of a community in your workplace. What does it look like to be a Christian there? How are you going to make a difference? How is God already working in and through you? And one of the main things that we do there is we get in older Christian workers from the delegate sector, and we give them an hour one-to-one with an older Christian worker to talk through, like, okay, so you're in the civil service, what are the particular challenges faced by civil servants who are Christians? And how can this older Christian worker give you advice? How can they pray with you? That kind of thing. So yeah, those are the kind of church resources and work resources that we have. Did you have a second question? I forgot.
No, I think that was it. And what you're mentioning there at the end, that's discipleship. That's so powerful. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's really exciting. That's one of, I'm not meant to have favorite bits of my job. But if I was to force to pick, kind of being able to watch people. So like one time, last time we did it, I had a teacher come in, and she was just like, at the end of her tether, she was like, I'm so done with being a teacher. Like, I just can't do it anymore. I'm worn out. I'm broken. My school is really hard. My kids are really difficult. And I ended up pairing her with what's known as an Ofsted inspector. Do you have Ofsted inspectors in the US? Do you know what that is?
I'm not sure. We may have a different term. Could you define it?
Yeah, so they're people who go into government-run schools, so state schools is what they're known, and basically mark them on how well they're doing and grade them online. That, do you know what I mean? Do you have those?
Often affect school funding, which is quite troubling, but yes, continue.
Yeah, so I ended up by some work of the Lord, and this at the kind of end of her tether, deep in the pit of despair, teacher was paired with an Ofsted inspector who had kind of been through like teaching and head teacher and then was in Ofsted. And this girl came back and was like, I feel so refreshed, I feel so much lighter, like I feel like I actually do my job now, because she understood and she got it, and she gave me like really helpful tips as to what I could do that might make my life easier, who I could talk to, what words to say, like, and how to say them well. And then she prayed for me and it really helped, and she was like almost in tears, and I was like, actually this is so exciting, because there are so many young Christians who, because of perhaps the churches in which they've grown up, or the way that student ministry is structured, haven't really spent much time with older Christians who are in similar sects to them, who have done similar things. And to be able to pair them up and be like, you do teaching and you do teaching, and actually you might actually have things to learn from one another and you might be able to encourage one another, is such a gift, and I love it.
That is a gift. And that's something that I think in the States we're learning to be able to do. And a lot of those conversations, I think, unfortunately, take place outside of the local church. But I think that is certainly something that is changing. As you deal with students, right, are there any particular career fields where it's easier for young professionals or students to see God at work in their work? And are there any particular careers where it's more difficult?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it can often come from your perspective to start with. And so I don't know what it's like in the US, but whether consciously or subconsciously, a lot of Christians have a holiness, what I call a holiness hierarchy. So
we have that.
Yeah, so like vicars are obviously called by God, and then like youth ministers are called by God, and then like, and then you have, and then it kind of gets kind of like doctors and nurses, you can see what they're, how they're doing God's work, and like teachers, like we get that. And then right at the bottom you have like people who work in banking and lawyers.
Yep.
And like and that's kind of, and then everyone kind of falls somewhere in between that. And you have it with degrees as well. So like I always joke that in my final year at uni, I did a theology degree, I lived with a law student. And we always had this kind of underlying banter of, oh well, you know, you can do the washing up today because my degree is more important to God and I have an essay to write, which perhaps wasn't the most healthy, but like actually it's kind of everywhere, this kind of idea of God calls particular people to particular things and everyone else is called to make money to just give it away to fund the things that the other people are actually called to do. But when you start to think about and encourage people to see work as a God-given gift, and wherever they are and whatever they're doing, they are working as God would. You can actually see it everywhere. So we talk about, I think it's like five or six things that which is shown in the way that God works in the creation narrative. So that's creating order, bringing beauty, creating joy, making provision, and helping others to flourish. And actually, whatever job you find yourself in, you can see how you are doing one or more of those. So I was talking to a Christian lawyer the other day, and I was like, what does it mean for you to be a Christian lawyer? Like everyone kind of, it's like, lawyers awkward. And she said, well, actually the thing about being a lawyer is, that you meet people on what is essentially one of the worst days of their life, because no one wants to be in court. Right.
Right.
And so she says, the way that I see it is that, yeah, a lot of my job is doing paperwork and stuff, but I get to meet people at their lowest, and I get to be a someone who ministers grace and love to them at that point, and I get to be someone who can show them kindness when they are at their very lowest. And I was like, that's really cool. And then another story would be a friend of mine who's a midwife, and I was talking to her, I was like, what does it look like to be a Christian midwife? And she's like, I don't really know, because the laws in the UK mean that you can't really talk about your faith freely as a doctor or a nurse, that kind of thing. And so she's like, well, I don't really know, because I can't talk to them. And I was like, okay, so what's your favorite part of your job? Try it from a different angle. She's like, oh, my favorite part of my job, so as a midwife, I realized that as I help a woman give birth, my hands are the first hands to touch this child as it comes into the world. First of all, awesome. Wow. And then it gets better. And she was like, and then like, so you help the woman give birth, and then you have to take the child away to do newborn checks. And you take them and you weigh them and you wipe them down and all of this kind of stuff, and you check they're okay. And she was like, and I realized pretty early on that like, I already had my hands on them. So, and I was doing these newborn checks, so I might as well pray for them as I was doing that. And I was like, you do realize that this child is under 3 minutes old, and it probably doesn't even have a name yet, and it's being brought before the Lord. Like, that's insane. Like, that's just ridiculous. And she was like, oh, maybe that's what it means to be a Christian midwife. Maybe it is. So I think when you start thinking about it from a broader perspective of how am I helping others to flourish? How am I praying for people who might otherwise never be prayed for? Like, let's think about that as well. Like, how how incredible is it to be able to, if you are allowed in a workplace, have a colleague who's having a difficult time and say to them, I would love to pray for you, would that be okay? It doesn't have to be right now, but I would love to pray for you. What you're essentially saying to that person is, I care about you enough to talk to my God about you. Like, that's a miraculous thing to be able to say to someone when you actually dig into what you're saying. And a non-Christian explained it to me like that, and we're like, when you offer to pray for me, you're basically saying you like me enough and you care about me enough to waste your time talking to your God about me. And so actually, maybe it's not about which jobs are more significant to God, but actually it's about how we talk to the people that we meet and how we spend our time and what we do wherever we find ourselves that is what matters to God. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think you should write a book. This is very good and very helpful. I just love the exegesis and the exposition of Genesis and the creation narrative and taking the time to slow down and break down all of the things that God does and all of the things that as his creatures we're called to do. In my circles, we talk about Psalm 8 a lot. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, kind of bookends the psalm. And in the in-between, it's almost as if the psalmist is saying, this is how the Lord makes his name known. Is that humans are put over creation, over the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea and the birds of the air to tend and to take care. And so, yeah, I think that really kind of gets down to what you just said. We take the inconvenient time to pray.
Yeah.
And to make ourselves available to things that are to people who are suffering, or who are having a hard day. So, yeah, I just think that's a really holistic view.
I find it every time I get to explain it to someone, I get excited about it all over again. I'm like, oh, this is really fun.
Well, I am too. And so I'll ask you, I'll gladly let our listeners in on this conversation, but I'm working with my local church now to try to integrate this conversation. We're sort of like a 3-point plan. We are integrating in corporate prayer, praying for people in their jobs, in their vocations. We are doing book studies on relevant topics, but always making sure we ground it in the scriptures.
Great.
And we're also trying to integrate congregational testimonies. So we interview people before a sermon or something like that and let them talk about how Christ is at work in their work. What are some other things that you would want to see a local church begin, whether it be curriculum or just common practice to sort of make these conversations more normal?
I mean, first up, sounds like you're acing it.
It's trial by error.
One of the first things that we suggest to church if they want to make a difference kind of at the beginning is do a thing called This Time Tomorrow, which is kind of the idea of a lot of churches have their service like 10, 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And so actually, if you get someone up to the front and you say to them, where are you going to be at 10 a.m., 11 a.m. on a Monday morning? And they'll invariably say, like, oh, I'll be, like, in the office, or I'll be in a meeting, or I'll be on a conference call, or I'll be taking a coffee break, or whatever. And then you say to them, okay, so what are the joys where you are this time tomorrow? What are the struggles, and how can we pray for you? That's a really simple 5-minute slot on a Sunday of getting people up to think about and to really put right from the front this kind of, actually, we're not just here for Sunday. We're here for the rest of the week. Like, this is an equipping for when this is an equipping in the gathering for when we're scattered. So I think that would be, like, as you said, kind of praying for people in their jobs. And one other thing that that always comes to mind is something that someone suggested, which is I don't know if this happens in the US, but in the UK, a lot of people have like a missionary board, like up in their church, like pictures of the mission partners. So one of the things that we suggest that churches who might have that would do is to stick a mirror on it and be like, actually, you're a mission partner as well. And it feels like a little bit cheesy, but it's just little things which change your mindset. And suddenly that matters. One of our resources at the moment that we've got, which is a series of videos online, is called Whole Life Preaching. And it's like, how can you actually preach with your congregation in mind? So knowing where your congregation are going to be the next day or on a Wednesday or on a Friday, whatever,
yes.
and how you can take the passage that you're preaching on and make it relevant to them specifically in their workplace, if you know some of their joys. And if you're a church leader, something which might be really helpful for you to do is to go and like go on a, like a field trip to a couple of congregations workplaces and be like, hey, can I come and like have lunch with you in your office one day or something, and just like go and visit. And then you can actually visualize where they are as well, because if you've kind of been in one workplace for a very long time as a clergy person or as a vicar or church leader, you can kind of forget what it's like to work in, like, for example, an open plan office, and to be able to go in and visualize it and then be able to speak into that situation very specifically would be really helpful. Encouraging people in the coffee break and before or after, whenever you do kind of socializing time, to ask like questions of like, okay, so where are you going to be this time tomorrow? What's a joy in your workplace at the moment? Or what are you really struggling with in something to do with your life that I can pray for you about? Basically just trying to ground what we're doing, what we're talking about, how we're encouraging one another, how we're praying for one another. And then also something like, if you have pictures behind your, when you have songs up on the screen, right? Often people have like pictures like mountaintops or like swirly patterns or something. What would it look like to take like a day and go and take some photos of your local area or the places that people work, that kind of thing, and put those as backgrounds to your worship music? And so to connect kind of visual and worship and start thinking about like, actually when I'm singing about your kingdom come, your will be done, when I'm praising the name of God, like I'm seeing pictures of my workplace. And I'm connecting these two things very clearly in my mind, which I find really helpful, again. So those would be like a few kind of top level things.
I love that idea of sort of integrating the senses to see that as you sing, that you're actually seeing something as well of where you're called. But hopefully, you know, if you're a pastor, if you're a lay leader or an elder or whatever it might be, and you're listening to this and trying to think of different ways you can get your church or congregation involved, Nell's given some really, really good ideas here, so please take heed. Nell, I really want to thank you for your time. It means a lot to me that you would come on and try to help us Americans catch up to what you're doing.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Ergonomy. If you're liking what you hear, please leave us a rating and a review wherever you listen to this podcast, and feel free to share it with friends from church or from work. Next week, we will be back with a part two from one of our most popular topics from season one, Wendell Berry. Be sure to check it out next week.